الزعم والأستاذ الزعم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أشهد لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live all the way from Mount Vernon, New York. We're sitting on the steps of the masjid here in the middle of the night, and we're having a program out here because we're holding what's called Qiyam al-Layl, which means to stand in the night, stand and pray and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in between that time of standing and praying, some of us are resting and others are listening some explanation about some of the teachings of Islam. And this is your host, Yusuf Estes, and I'll be with you for the next few minutes discussing some of the various points about Islam and how we can take benefit from it and apply those things in our daily lives. Inshallah, God willing. By the way, for a rebroadcast of this and other programs, you can visit us on the internet at IslamYesterday.com. That's Islam Yesterday, the opposite of tomorrow. That's where we keep a lot of our stored programs. You can go there and listen to the programs that we've recorded in the past. You can also visit us online at Islam Always. And here you will find many of the interesting discussions that are recorded in typeset or text so that you can actually copy those and use them in your emails. And then you can visit us online at IslamTomorrow.com. And this is where you'll find many of our articles about Islam and the Muslims. And now to our program that's in progress. Now we'd like to speak a little bit on the subject of our youth and what's their future in the Dawah.
Move away from the phone a little bit. Okay. They're saying it's not clear. It's kind of muffled. So move your mouth away from the phone a little bit.
Okay, how is this? Is that any better? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let me know if it's better, guys.
Is this better? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm running out of voice. I think I need water. How are we doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, they say it's a little better. It's a little better.
Okay, you know what's happening? We're changing cell phones from one to another because, you know, to take advantage of batteries. So unfortunately, they're not all the same. This is Nextel that we're using. Earlier we were using Verizon, and we also used, I think we used Sprint on one of them. It didn't work. In any case, this is Nextel that we're using right now.
That's the kind I use. Okay, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
All right. Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live all the way from Mount Vernon, New York. We're here at the masjid, and we're talking with the brothers here in the middle of the night, Qiyam al-Layl. We're talking about the subject of the youth, our Muslim youth, and their role in the Dawah. And especially in the future, we're talking about what they will be doing in regard to helping people to know the true message of Islam. One of the things that we're discussing with some of our brothers is that it is difficult to present Islam in another language that you're not real strong in, especially because many of the terms and the understandings, the philosophies of Islam need a concise explanation. They need particular attention to detail with the concept. And so this makes it a bit difficult for those who don't have a command of the English language. But I would also like to mention, by the way, that a good command of the English language, if you're not really well versed in the Arabic language and you're not well versed in the Islamic teaching, you would still have difficulty in getting the meaning across to others. So this is something that requires an understanding of both languages. And it also requires a lot of patience to learn exactly the meanings and concepts in Islam. And when the youth, or anyone really, is going to be calling to Islam, it's a responsibility to really learn and understand the base of Islam, or the aqidah of Islam, the foundation. The foundation of Islam is based on the belief first, because before there can be any action, there has to be the correct belief, or iman. The iman or belief in Islam is always predicated ahead of, situated in front of any action. It begins in Surah Baqarah in the Quran, and it continues throughout the Quran until you get to Surah Al-Asr. And in all these cases, Allah is always mentioning that there must be the correct belief before there is the action or the amal salihat. Aminu wa amilu salihat. Allah uses this term throughout the Quran, and it's always meaning the belief or faith and then the action. The only exception to that is in Surah Al-Imran, which we've mentioned many times in the subject of da'wah. That's in chapter 3, verse 110. Kuntun khayrin umatin, ukhrijat bin nasi ta'muruna bil ma'ruf, wa tan'una 'anil munkar, wa tu'minuna billah. And it says here, you're the best of people that Allah has raised up because you call the people to al ma'ruf, and you forbid al munkar, and you believe in Allah. In this case, and now only in this case, is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predicated the belief in Allah with some kind of action. But when we checked this out with the scholars of Islam, they told us that's because these two actions actually predicate belief. Because if you said you believe in Allah, and you believe in the message of La ilaha illallah, and you believe that people should follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His rules and ordinations, then it means that you would be willing to call to that and forbid what would take people away from it. So they said that means that in this case, that ma'ruf and munkar does not mean good and evil, but rather it means the ma'ruf of calling the people to the religion of La ilaha illallah of Islam and forbid whatever would take people away from La ilaha illallah, meaning Islam. So having said that, I will go back and mention that always the belief is important in Islam, so that's why we need to know what the belief is. And how do we know exactly the belief? We know it from the Quran itself. Many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about the belief, and He tells us how it comes and what strengthens it, and then He tells us what will erode the belief and bring it down and take it away from us. He gives us an example in the Quran about what happened about the people before us, and He says it more or less the meaning that the people before us did not differ amongst themselves until the clear proof came to them. They did not differ or separate until after the clear proof came to them. And this is in Surah Bayyinah, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this. It's interesting that people can get along real well with each other until truth comes, and then they start to separate out into their particular groups. And that's because the human being are divided into two basic groups, belief and disbelief. As long as nobody's bringing up the subject of religion or belief, everybody's okay. They can all go fish together, swim together, go boating together, play golf together, play soccer together. They can do all these things and have a good time, and there's no problem until we start to talk about belief. And then that's when we separate this idea into different groups, and they make farakat, or separation. And even amongst those who claim to believe in Allah, when they begin to talk more and more about belief, you'll find them separating more and more. And what that separation is caused from is actually something inside the heart, because whenever you get to the point that brings you closer to Allah, those who don't really want to be close to Allah, they'll separate from you. Even they might give some excuse and say that you're not right in what you say, but in fact, it's many times that they don't really want to submit to Allah, they don't really want to believe. We find that amongst some people who claim to believe in Allah, they say we believe in the God of Adam and Abraham, and yet whenever we start to talk about some of the conditions that go with that, they want to renege and back up and say, no, I don't go for that. Well, it's important for us to realize that if anybody drops off a part of the belief, they're dropping off a part of Islam, and we can't accept that. Let me give you an example so that we understand, where I take it from. The Prophet ﷺ told us in a very good hadith, mentioning that iman, because he was asked, what is iman? What is belief? What is faith? He said it's to believe in Allah, and to believe in His angels, and His books, and His prophets, and to believe in the Yawmul Qiyamah, that is the Yawmul Akhir, which is Judgment Day, and to believe in the Qadr of Allah. So if a person came along and said, I believe in Allah, okay? I believe in the angels, But I believe one of the angels, really, he was bad, and he broke away, and he became, you know, the devil. This would be a problem for us, because we as Muslims have to believe what Allah said about angels in the Quran, and that is that they're made from what? Light. Tell me today that angels are made out of the sun, and this is a Muslim child telling me that angels are made out of the sun. Well, maybe he misunderstood it, but anyway, they're made from light. And Allah tells us in the Quran that they don't know anything except what Allah reveals to them. They have no knowledge. They don't know anything. So they're not sharing in Allah's knowledge. And they're not sharing in Allah's power. They can't do anything except that Allah lets them do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is not allowing them to have any choice in any matter. They have to do what they're ordered to do. This is mentioned, by the way, if you didn't think about it before, look in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 102 of the Quran, and notice where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He sent down Harut and Marut, two angels, to teach the people magic. He ordered the angels, teach these people magic, and then order them not to use it. Tell them it's a test from Allah. And that's what they did. They came down and they taught the people magic, and they said, but don't use this. This is a test from Allah. This is something dangerous. It's a test. Don't use it. Don't use it. And yet the people went ahead and used it. And this was the type of magic or spells that would be put on people to cause them to, a man and his wife, separate in things of this nature. And, by the way, some people still claim to use this stuff today. In any case, so we see the angels have no free will, but some people said, well, the devil was an angel, and all of a sudden he broke away, and he became bad, and he started doing things. Well, if he has no choice, how did he do this? Well, for us as Muslims, we know that the devil was not an angel, because Allah told us in the Quran that he was from the jinn, and the jinn are made out of what? Allah said in the Quran, they're made from a smokeless fire. Now, if you know that his name is Iblis, you know that he's the devil. You know that he came from the jinn, and the jinn came from a smokeless fire. How did you get that confused with angels that are made out of light? And the jinn do have free will. Allah in Surah Al-Jinn, you can hear the story of what the jinn said when they heard about the recitation of Quran. So if you understand that the jinn have a choice, they can be Muslim or not Muslim, they're not angels. Therefore, it's not an option. We must believe that the devil is not an angel, but rather from the jinn. So if somebody said, no, I want to believe that, he's leaving a part of Islam. Next, if somebody said, for instance, well, I want to believe in the Torah, but I don't want to believe in the gospel that came with Jesus, and I don't want to believe in Quran. Well, Allah has ordered us, you know, that we have to believe in all of the books. It's not acceptable for us to leave any of the books out. So if somebody wants to leave one out, we can't accept that. Likewise, if somebody says, well, I want to accept it, but I want to accept it with some changes in it, we can't accept that either. It has to be the book as it came from Allah. And an example here is the Christian who comes up to you with an English Bible and says, this is the Word of God, and you say, how? Did Jesus speak English? Moses was speaking English? No. There was no English language 1,000 years ago. How are you going to tell me these are books from God? Even the Quran came and was revealed before there was any English, for sure. You know, you may have doubts about a lot of things, but you don't have to doubt this. There was no English language during the revelation of any of the books of Allah. Therefore, forget it. Well, he said, well, okay, I'll accept the gospel of Jesus, you know, but I don't want to accept the Quran. Again, this is not acceptable. So a Muslim, a true believer, he has to accept in all the books. Now, they believe in all the books. That includes anything that came from Allah, but it has to be in its original source without corruption and without change and without translation to some other language. Well, you'll say, well, wait, there isn't anything like that. You're right. There is only the Quran. It's the only one that's still original, in the original language, still extant. But we believe that the others came from Allah, and we believe that people changed them and they lost the originals. So we would believe in it if you could come up with it, but you'll never come up with it, because that's the reason the Quran is with it. If somebody said, as another example, well, I believe in the Day of Judgment, but I don't think we're going to have a body. I think we'll just be in spirit. Well, this is also not the teaching in Islam, because Allah tells us that we will be having bodies. We're going to have skin, and Allah is going to, you know, bring us back just as we were in the first place. And we'll be standing on the Day of Judgment. This will be on Arafat. All right, now, again, if somebody doesn't believe in the Qadr of Allah, that Allah already has predestined everything, this is going away from Islam as well. And the best way to describe the Qadr to somebody and they don't understand predestination is to explain that Allah has full knowledge of what will happen, but that we don't have that knowledge. We don't know what's going to happen. Therefore, it means that we are acting according to what we think we know, and we're going to be judged on our intention, but not really on the outcome of things, because Allah has the control of the outcome, but we are the ones making the intentions, and that's really what we're going to be judged on, is what we were trying to do. So that pretty much sums up the belief there. That's where a person needs to really begin. So if our youth are going to do the da'wah, they need to be familiar with these tenets. And the most important of all of them is the belief in Allah. And the belief in Allah is this. We believe Allah is one, unique, without partners. He creates, although he's not created. He sustains, although he is not sustained. And there is nothing that exists that he is the one who brought it into existence. And there is nothing that has any power beside him. The famous statement in Islam is, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no might or power except the might and the power of Allah. There are some other statements too that support what we're saying. One of them is, La ilaha illallah. This is the most important and the foundation of all the statements made. In fact, there's nothing except that it exists, except that it has to be associated with this famous statement, La ilaha illallah. The reason, because La means no, ilaha means items to worship or gods or deities, illa means with the exception of Allah, and it means Allah. But Allah itself, this is something beautiful, it's Allah's name. At the same time, it comes from the same root as the word ilah. And ilah and aliha, the plural, is something to worship or things to be worshipped. But when you put Allah like this, it becomes something beautiful because it cannot be made plural. It's impossible to make plural or gods out of it. Also, it changes it from the status of gender. It cannot be made male nor female. So this is very beautiful in Islam. The perfect word to describe the only one to be worshipped is the word Allah, because it's singular, cannot be made plural, cannot be made male or female, and it means to worship. The only one worthy to be worshipped, La ilaha illallah. Some people, and this is something interesting for the youth when they're thinking about how to talk about Islam, some people might come to you and say, well, if you said God is one, and he's alone, and he has no partners, why in the Quran does he use the term we? We created mankind only to worship us. It says in Surah Al-Dariyat. It says in Al-Dariyat, chapter 51, verse 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And it's saying we created the human beings and the jinn just for worshiping Allah. Why is it we? Do you know the answer? Who knows the answer? It says we. And by the way, it says that in the Torah, the Old Testament. It says we. When Allah refers to himself, he said we. And in the Arabic, nahnu is we. It's very clear that Allah uses this term more than once. So if he uses this term and somebody came to you and they said, hey, you told me your God is one, he has no partners, then you turn around and you said that your God is talking about we, what's it mean? The Christians came along and said, well, that meant the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Sneaky, huh? Well, in fact, this is not plural, because English and Arabic share something in common. Not much, but they do share this. Both of them provide a way to show royalty with a plural of the singular, because it's not a plural in number, but rather in authority. When a king issues a decree from the throne, he says, "We decree the following decree or declaration." Okay, and that means he is issuing an order. He said, "We," and there's nobody up there but him, unless he's got a mouse in his pocket. Therefore, he's the king by himself on the throne. What is the "we"? And the "we" means the royal "we." And he might say, "We are not amused." And again, who is with you up there, king? We can't see anybody. So he's talking about himself, and it's royal. Now, some people might challenge that, and these are people who don't really know the English language, and it's all right. I don't blame you. I'd like to share something with you. I did study the English language a little bit. In fact, I have my degree in it, so I feel comfortable to mention the fact that there is another way that you can see it even easier. In the English language, when we give respect to someone, high respect, we do create the plural for them in the state of to be. Let me explain. If I say, "He is," that's singular, isn't it? "Is" is singular. "This is," that's singular. "She is," that's singular. "It is," "she is," "he is." But if I make it plural, "They are," "we are," "these are." So when I speak about myself in the first person, I don't use either one. I say, "I am," which is a very high status. But when I speak to you directly, I say, "You is" or "you are." Why did I say "are"? Is there two of you there or three of you? No, because it's out of respect. It elevates the single person to a higher status. That's why it's proper to say "you are." Those who are not familiar with the English language and don't understand this rule, they will say "you is." "You is my friend." And it sounds funny to us. It's correct, though. In singular, "you is," but it's, you're laughing now. But it is actually wrong, because it doesn't give the proper status or respect to the individual. So you see how the plural works. So when Allah says "nahnu," he's speaking of himself, he is singular. Okay, that's how you would explain that. There are some other aspects when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about himself that might confuse those people who are not very knowledgeable or ever thought about these things. For instance, in many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about things that he has qualities or attributes. He said he is Semi'un Alim. Semi'un, Semi'un Alim, what does that mean? He is all hearing and all knowledgeable. Wahu Basir Alain, Wahu Basir, I forgot, there's another one I was thinking of, but which means he's all seeing. He's all hearing, he's all seeing, he's all knowledgeable. All of these terms that he's mentioning in the Quran, people can see, people can hear, and people have knowledge. Is that true? So they might say, "Well, I thought you said he doesn't compare it to his creation." Laysa kamithlihi shay'in. There isn't anything like Allah. Wa huwa basir al... What? What's the rest of the ayah? You know the rest of the ayah? Laysa kamithlihi shay'in. Wa huwa basir al... I'm not sure. I'm not going to take a chance. So, that's what happens when you get tired of it. But if you said, "Well, how come Allah is comparing himself to the creation?" وَلَمْ يَكُلُهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. It says here, there isn't anything it compares to Allah. But then you turn around and you say, "Yeah, but he's having hearing, he's having sight, he's having knowledge." No, don't say, no. He's not comparing himself to the creation. Because if you said that, then this is contradicting a statement. Lam yakulu hu kufuwan ahad. It doesn't compare to his creation. And in fact, if you understand the Arabic, you would understand that this is the perfect way to describe him. Because he doesn't say he has sight and he has knowledge. He said he is the knowledge. He is the seeing and he is the hearing. He's the epitome. Because he uses the prefix in front of it of the article V, al basir. Al-Alim, he is the knowledge, Al-Alim, and he is the seeing. His sight is not like our sight, and his hearing is not like our hearing. His knowledge is not like our knowledge. He is the epitome or the ultimate of that. So we see that Allah is not like his creation. From this, and it's a very important part of the Tawheed of Islam, never to compare Allah to his creation, and not to even use the term which compares Allah to the creation. Because Allah is not in the creation, he doesn't exist in the creation like we do. Allah is not a part of the creation, and the creation is not a part of Allah. Where is Allah? This is the next question people should be coming up with at that stage. Well, you said that Allah is not like the creation. You said he's not in the creation, then where is he? Above his creation? A very good answer, by the way. Well, how did you know that? Where? Oh, the last time I came? You made me feel better. I'm glad somebody listened to me. I wish my kids would listen to me like that. Alhamdulillah. Well, actually, this is a good way to say it. That Allah is above his creation. Also, and there is a proof of this in the Quran. Who Allah is? He is the one, خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, created the heavens and earth, فِيْسَةُ الْيَمْ, which means in 6 years of time, ثُمَ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, means that, and then he rose above his arsh. So we know from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in his creation. He's not in his creation. He is above his creation and beyond his creation. His creation, compared to Allah, is very tiny. That's why you say Allah is Allahu Akbar. He's greater than anything. Let me explain one thing. He has something, Wasi'a kursiyyuhu samawati wal ard. It said that his kursi extends over the universe. And I read today in one of the translations of Quran, it said this is Allah's throne, and Allah is holding his throne up. And everything in the creation is being a part of the throne or something like this. The throne is encompassing the creation and Allah is holding it up. And I said, my God, this sounds like the old fairy tale of the Romans who believed in Atlas holding the earth on his back. It doesn't sound good. A better translation would be to say that the kursi of Allah extends over the universe rather than it's a part of the universe, and also not to call it his throne, because it's said clearly in this translation, this is Allah's throne, and kursi and arsh are not the same word. Somebody asked Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time, they said, is this Allah's arsh when it says kursi? And he said no. So if he said no, why did he say yes? He said this kursi compares to Allah's arsh as though you would take a ring and throw it in the desert. This means that Allah has a kursi and he has an arsh. So why can't he have two things? He does. He has a creation which is very small. He has this huge thing over it. It's so big that it's like a desert. And this small universe we're in is like a ring compared to the kursi. But the kursi is so small, it's like a ring compared to a desert. To Allah's arsh, and Allah is mighty and above his throne. So this means that Allah is nothing like you can compare to this creation. And when we say Allahu Akbar, Allah, and Akbar, what is Akbar, by the way? Yes. It's greatest, but it comes from what in Arabic? Kabara. And this is the word kibr. Pride comes from the same word. Somebody has kibr, it's shirk. Why is it shirk? Because Allah is Akbar. What are you doing with one of a minor part of Allah's quality? don't do it. The Prophet ﷺ once said that when a person's garment is closed or trailing on the ground, whatever trails behind him is dragging in the hellfire. So they thought, oh my God, if our clothes are in the fire, why is that? And one of them, the companions, they came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I can't help it. My clothes are dragging on the ground because I'm so skinny from no food. He was thin, you know, and his clothes are dragging. And he said, no, 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 this is not about you. This is about people who do it out of pride. Pride. This is the meaning. Not about somebody can't hold his clothes up, but out of pride. I received an email one time, somebody not Muslim complaining about this subject, and they said, how come people whose clothes fall on the ground that they have to go to hell? I said, this doesn't mean that. If somebody's clothes are dragging on the ground, it doesn't mean he goes to hell. It means he's dragging his clothes out of pride, because people used to do that. By the way, it's mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned in the Bible, these people who used to stand so people would see them in the synagogue, they would stand in places so people could see them praying, they would stand in places and paint their faces up to make it look like they're hungry and fasting, and they would make sure that their garments were trailing on the ground out of pride. And all of that it mentions in the Bible, that this will put them in hell. So these people shouldn't be asking us. They have the same thing in their own book. Why do you ask me about what you have in your own book? Question yourself. So this is an important thing for us to keep in mind, that we are on the truth. All we need to do is continue to stick with that. And I don't recommend, by the way, for the Muslims to study the Bible. I really don't recommend this. And I'm going to tell you why. Because most of the Muslims today don't know the Quran. So why would you bother to study somebody else's book and you didn't study your own book? So learn the Quran, learn the Arabic, memorize the Quran, and spend your time with that. And if people want to know, when they talk to you, tell them about what we have, and don't insult them and tell them what they have and you don't know what it is. Just say, this is what we have. If they like it, alhamdulillah. If they don't like it, alhamdulillah. Either way. And if they said, well, I want you to compare what we have to what you have, you say, listen, I'll tell you what I do. I'll tell you what I have, and I'll recommend a book for you to read. Your own book. Go read it. Because Allah tells us in the Quran, tell them to read their book. Go tell them. Allah will guide them. And you tell them, this is what we have. Go read your book. Because they will never tell a Muslim to read his book. All the sneaky things that the Christian missionaries do, they will never tell a Muslim to read his Quran. In fact, they'll tell him not to read it. But I'm going to tell them, I love your book. I love the Bible so much, I wish you had the original. Then you could see even better. I wish you did, but you won't wish that for me. Because I already have my original, I'm having no problem here. But I love your prophet, you won't say that about my prophet. I love you if you love Allah. And I love you if you love all the prophets and the books. Okay? But you won't say that about me because you don't understand. And Allah won't guide you until you humble yourself and stop being so proud in front of him and showing off like you're somebody and you've got something going for you. Read your book and come back when you're ready. That if you're honest, and this is for Muslims and non-Muslims, if you're really honest, you really want truth, then all you got to do to prove what I said is true, go off by yourself where nobody can see you, go inside your heart and say, oh God, guide me. If you're honest and you told the truth, he'll guide you. And if you're lying, don't waste your time. That's my advice for the youth who would like to know about calling to Islam. And by the way, how old are you? You're 11? You're so big for 11 years old. Stand up. My gosh. What's your name? Saeed. Saeed? Saeed. Ah, it's Arabic. Okay. Where are you from? Bangladesh, mashallah. No, wait a minute. People in Bangladesh aren't as big as you. How did this happen? Huh? By the way, Bangladesh is a good place to start dawah. Any place is a good place. So, but by the way, do you know more Arabic, English, or Bengali?
I know
Bengali and English. Okay, well, you're right here in America, so we'll start you doing dawah right here. How about that? MashaAllah. And I'm very proud of you, by the way. that you remembered some of the program that we had last time. So next time I come here, inshallah, I'm going to be checking you out, see how you do. Do you have any questions tonight? Or this morning? This morning now, isn't it? Do you have some questions? Anything? That's a very good question. He's asking the question that when we talk about Allah being above His arsh, is the arsh a part of His creation? It's a good question. It's not a part of the creation of the what we know of this universe. Okay? And so therefore I'm not going to answer the question. I know it's not a part of the universe. The universe is something separate. It's under, not even equal to the kursi. Kursi not equal to the arsh. But what it is, how it is, I have no clue. But I know that on the day of judgment, Allah will come close, and when He comes, He's going to be coming over the arsh, not sitting on it, laying on it, over it, but He will have how many angels carrying Him? Six. The size of these angels will be so big, the distance from the ear to the shoulder is something like 70 years journey. So these will be huge malaika carrying the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know. The sheikh is saying 200 years to go across his foot? 2,000 years to go the distance his foot covers? The length of the foot. Wow. First time I heard that. 2,000 years to travel in his footsteps. His stride. The footstep of a horse. Yeah, the stride of the horse. Okay, that makes sense. That's a lot. That's an awful lot. Alhamdulillah. Well, anyhow. We're going to wrap it up with that. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're going to sign off now. We have a plan to come back on in Fajr time. But for right now, we're going to wrap it up and remind you that Allah is the Salam, He's the peace. We'll leave you in peace and pray for the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with all of those who truly believe and they seek truth, they seek knowledge, and they seek the peace and the reward to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. And until we're back with you again, may Allah's peace be with you. Visit us on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Are you coming back?
Fajr, inshallah.
Fajr. Okay, Fajr, guys. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Well, Brother Danish, Brother Mutakun said it works for him without him using Download Accelerator. So maybe my server don't take that. I don't know. I have never heard anybody complain about resumption, so I figure it works. I got a cable, so I don't have those problems.